It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid here and declare your independence, except the big, giant, dripping, toxic government needles. You know, I choose to be, what do you shoot with that? I mean, you know, no, it's a needle, get it. I mean, you know, what? It's the guys behind it, you know. I mean, I'm just, this is of a concern to us. I mean, genuine, what the heck? So this is what we're going to do. I want to play this one part. Go ahead and do it in the studio mixer there, because I want to play when was it? Yeah, it was beginning of the year. It was back in February. So we're like 7 months ago. 4409, you know, Jason Shelton, he's a friend of ours, one of the activists here, and he has, like, if you go on YouTube and you just type in 4409, which stands for, that's a secret, you don't let anybody know. Anyway, everybody asks what it means, and it's not that big a deal. It's just, you pick the number, because whatever. So 4409 has his own YouTube channel, and he has his own signs he puts on around the valley, and people go there, and you learn, and he's really on, you know, the man when they just messing with you on various things. Like, his big thing right now is Red Flex with the camera frauds, all these video surveillance, and he just has one up today. It's kind of funny. It's only like a minute and something, but he goes to the Red Flex. They have different headquarters, and one of them is kind of secret. You know, it's their worldwide headquarters, and they didn't know where it was. It's never printed on anything. Nobody could find it. One of the libertarian activists is a postal carrier, and he was here one time. He goes, well, I know where it is. I deliver mail to him every day. He goes, it's over there. And they go, thank you very much. So they go there, and they have like a big open glass break rooms and everything. So Shelton's in there with his video camera, videotaping, and the guy comes out, and he goes, who are you? And he goes, who are you? Hey, I got your video. Who are you? What's your name? You know, and he goes around getting license plates and cars and everything just because he can. They're doing it to us. You know, we're being video surveilled all the time. So he's like, you know, doing, you know, a little payback. You know, so it's kind of, this kind of stuff gets him in trouble, you know, but yeah, whatever. Somebody's doing it. And so one of the things that he's watching television, and just from out of the blue, he's watching TV, and then he hears them talking about vaccine court. And he's like, what the heck? And yeah, this thing's 3 minutes, so we're going to have to wait and do it in the next segment. But, you know, this, go ahead, Donna, say hello to the audience.
Good morning.
And, yeah, she has such a good voice. And the one thing that, the motivation behind a lot of this that you do, I mean, if you could sum it up in a minute before we go to the break and say, I let my husband be out there because why? Why you do that? That's a good question. I didn't know that.
Because I you're right on a lot of things. I mean, I feel like a little bit like Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz. We've been down this path together, you know, a lot of obstacles on our way to Oz just to find out the truth, and we've pulled back the curtain on the wizard, and what we're doing now after all those years of knowing the truth is we're just trying to tell people what we've learned, and don't believe everything that you hear. There's certainly enough information out there on the internet now that it's going to be really hard for the government and all these other people that want to control you to hide everything. So just be informed. That's all we're about. We just want people to understand and you know, just think for yourself, and so that's what we do.
You know, that's one thing that Mary Ruart, she's a physician, a PhD, and an author. She was in the movie For Liberty, you know, the Ron Paul Revolution documentary. And she said, you know, the internet has a lot of info, but the truth is out there. You know, the truth is there. You just got to go find it. You know, and we're helping you, you know, find it. Well, go find it. When we come back, I want you to know about vaccine court. We'll be right back.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Good morning. Ernest Hancock here on Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, and you don't even need a government form or me. You can do it yourself. It's real simple. You know, it's an attitude. It's a perspective. You know, it's just, and once you do that, then things become clear. I mean, you start to see things for what they really are. You know, that's one thing. You know, I suspect that one of the reasons behind them wanting to be able to control drugs, other than the profit that the bad guys in government get from it, is that it gives you a different angle on something. You know, I remember a business class that I took. It was cassette tapes, you know, that a friend of mine had on different things. And when he was done with them, you know, I got to listen to them. And there was one in there that said, indecision is the worst decision because, you know, why? Why is indecision the worst decision? Well, it gave a really good example. It said, when you make a decision, whatever it is, use the eight ball, you know, with a little window in it, you know, throw darts, you know, roll dice, draw straws, flip coins, you know, whatever, and make a decision. Because when you make a decision, you do something different, it provides you another angle, a different perspective on whatever the problem is. You go, oh, it may not be the solution, but it gives you a different angle on the problem. And you go, I could have had a V8. I didn't realize that was so simple. Oh, my heavens, Betsy, you know, I should have done that earlier. But if you just stay there looking at the same thing, it's like looking at a line of telephone poles, and from one direction, you don't see all the other telephone poles. You don't see all the stuff. You take just step to the side just a little bit different perspective, and all of a sudden it all becomes apparent. I'm like, okay. So they want to keep you in a line, a linear thinking for you, bullet point, you know, it comes from. And part of that is never, of all the things that you can challenge, you never challenge the existence of this government to begin with. They didn't do it to you. No, you did it because you didn't control the government enough. You did it because you weren't diligent enough making sure that, you know, the bad guys didn't get hold of the ring. You were the problem because you allowed the guy behind the lever of power to do this to you. It was your fault. You know, and I say, yeah, but I'm not so worried about the guy. How about I just get rid of the ring and I ain't got to worry about any guy? You know, well, then there's another guy with another ring. And I'm like, oh, you know, one ring to bind them all. Here it comes. You know, and how? Because there is no global ring that can take over your life unless you're already under another ring. It controls that ring. You see, that's the Lord of the Rings thing. That was, you know, this has been, these thoughts have been going around for a long time. Even the Bible, you know, it's all about binding kingdoms into the end times and the Antichrist and the one, whatever. It's all about, you know, how big their collective going against another collective. There's a supreme collective eventually saying we rule. And what has been the solution? Yeah, well, we got a kingdom, you know, afterlife. We went over there. You get it here. Wow. Yay. Well, you know what? Christ's going to find me busy. He gets here. You know, my servant here, man, he was not sitting on his hands. Okay? I'm not waiting. You weren't just waiting for me to come do it for you. You know, I got to imagine that that's better than not. At least that's what I'm going by. Now, on television, all of a sudden, on the CNN's Wolf Blitzer show, Situation Room, whatever it was, Shelton is watching TV, and all of a sudden he comes across this.
I'm going to bring in our chief medical correspondent, Dr. Sanjay Gupta. Now, Sanjay, there's been some significant developments on the alleged link between autism and childhood vaccines. What happened today?
There are three test cases out there, Wolf, that sort of a special court ruled on today, trying to establish whether or not there is a link between certain vaccines, childhood vaccines, the MMR vaccine in particular, and autism. This was a ruling that a lot of people are waiting for some time. The answer came back as no, no, no on all three of those test cases. No link was established.
All right, stop. No link was established. I can imagine why. Could it be the courts were set up by the pharmaceutical companies?
So is this decision final now?
Well, you know, the way it works with the vaccine court...
Vaccine court? What the hell is vaccine court?
Is you can appeal, just like any other court. You can appeal to a federal claims court, for example.
Like the court you should have went into at first, instead of going to some jicky-jack made-up court called vaccine court?
They may hear this case, but the vaccine court has been handing down decisions for over 20 years now, and they've given money in the past. Over 1,500 cases, they've given money. But these three cases, they simply thought an award was not justified.
You don't really hear much about this vaccine court. I've never heard about it, but it's out there, I see.
Yeah, you know, what's so interesting about this is when vaccine makers started coming to this country and so many lawsuits were being waged against them.
Stop. Shouldn't that make you question if you're getting this many lawsuits that something is wrong? They said, okay, well, there is something wrong.
They said, we simply can't continue to do this. It's just not profitable.
No shit. It's just not profitable because we're killing people and we're doing a lot of bad stuff. So this ain't working. We'll just set up our own make-believe court.
So what they said is we'll set up a special court. We'll take 75 cents, an excise tax, if you will, off every vaccine, put it into this fund, and make it available if they think that there are some damages that should be awarded.
So it's a cost of doing business. So they found a way to get around the system. Basically, you go to this make-believe court, and you waste a bunch of time, and then they have their own judges, their own... The court has been paid by them. Basically, the courts are ran by the pharmaceutical company. And how do we give these people credibility is beyond belief. Vaccine court? I mean, that's like trying to sue Microsoft, and you go to Microsoft court, and the person running it, paying all the judges and everything, is Bill Gates. Are you going to get a fair hearing? I mean, it's just stupidity.
Yeah, you start to get it. I mean, you know, this is the kind of stuff that we were putting out that we knew there was a problem for. Vaccine court? What the heck was that? We didn't even know that existed. Well, they've had it for 20 years. Yeah, they've paid out some stuff. I'm like... Wow. Why? Because they wanted to be insulated from liability. You know, so then we have Robert Kennedy Jr. coming out going, and they needed it because they're hurting people, an entire generation. Imagine this. You know, we have here a gentleman, Jim Kaiser. He's in the news. Matter of fact, this Friday, he goes to a custody hearing after he was arrested for kidnapping his own son away from his mother because the courts forced him, said, you have to give them this medication. And he goes, no, I'm not doing it. Then he went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth over a year or two. Finally, they're going to take away, because he refuses when he has them to give him these drugs, they're going to take away his parental rights to the child. He goes, really? Talked to Ben, his young boy. He's 9 years old. And he goes, they discussed it. They both agreed. Boom. They went to Florida. Eventually, he got caught about 4 months later. Now he's back here, and it's all the news. We got Mark J. Victor, a criminal defense lawyer, on it. It's going to be a yummy trial. But the custody hearing is this Friday. It's going to be separate. And I guarantee court's going, no, you know, none shall pass. Not allowed to, you know, say no to the government mandating drugs for your children. What is the difference with that and these vaccinations on adults? You know, they're making, you know, it's not in the child's best interest. Okay, well, once you get that point, you know, whose is it? Oh, it belongs to the man? Okay, really? Well, you know, once they get that kind of going on, then what do they do? Do you belong to the man? That's what's happening. They're saying, so who is it that, why, how do you claim, oh, well, it's for society. You know, you're a risk to society that we created with these pieces of paper. Ah, it always comes back to that, doesn't it? Now, you're in the collective. You know, you can leave if you want. You know, they go to Sitting Bull, you know, you know, where's your land? Where's your borders? What he goes, hey, I'll tell you where my land is, where my ancestors are buried. You know, it's where mine are buried. It's where my grandkids are born. That is my land. So, you know, is it something to do on some piece of paper or some government says, you know, this is, you know, it matters not. We are your king. You see, I mean, it's just, so when we start doing all these signs and so on, I mean, it generates some interest, you know, they get some stuff going on. You know, we'll go ahead and play this one. Go ahead and do the KVOA. This is the, I don't know which network they are, but it's Channel 4 in Tucson. Go ahead, Don.
Good evening. I'm Tom McNamara.
And I'm Christy Tedesco. Thanks for joining us. The H1N1 virus, or the swine flu, grabbing all of the headlines lately. Tonight, the vaccine.
Healthcare workers in New York have been ordered to get the vaccine, and that's stirring up a storm in Arizona.
There is opposition to a mandatory shot, and it's spreading on the streets like a virus itself. News 4's Rebecca Taylor breaking it down, new at 10.
A skull and syringe. These homemade signs popping up in Tucson are aimed at supporting first responders who don't want to take the H1N1 vaccine. Ernie Hancock runs the libertarian website Freedom's Phoenix, which launched the campaign, saying, quote, "I claim what's in my skin. I will not allow a bureaucrat to force anything to go into my skin without my permission."
Well, I don't want anybody to be frightened by the signs.
Adamant the vaccine is safe, Patty Woodcock with the Pima County Health Department says, unlike New York, she doesn't foresee required shots here.
But as far as mandating it, no, I don't see that happening. We are encouraging everyone to get their seasonal vaccine and the H1N1 vaccine when it becomes available.
News 4 also contacted local fire departments. Neither Tucson or Northwest will require first responders to get the swine flu vaccine, although so far three dozen Northwest firefighters have come forward voluntarily requesting it. The shipment is expected to arrive late next week, and although regular flu shots are not required either, 80% of Northwest first responders have been voluntarily vaccinated. Tucsonans have mixed reactions.
Do you think it should be a requirement here in Arizona?
Yes, definitely.
Why is that?
Because the people who care for sick people and who are around sick people all the time need to be immunized against the swine flu so they don't give it to other people.
No. That's Big Brother telling you what to do with your life.
Until Freedom's Phoenix gets it in writing that first responders in Arizona won't be mandated to get the shot, Hancock says these signs will continue to go up around town.
Yep. Want to break free. We'll talk about it when we come back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
What's that solution? How about a little bit of freedom? Freedom's the answer. What's the flipping question? A lot of people though will go, yeah, but what about more freedom's the answer? I guarantee you I can make an argument for more freedom being the answer. And you know, one thing that was interesting last night, I just want to bring this up real quick. I was watching it was a history of food at an online thing that we had. Barbara Peterson, she does a lot of stuff for Farm Wars. She writes on Freedom's Phoenix. And I had it up on my computer. I've been watching it in a second. I finally finished it last night. It's like an hour and a half. And it's a documentary. And it's all about Monsanto and how all of our seed companies and everything got bought up by all these petrochemical companies that do fertilizers and stuff. And then Monsanto has patents on 11,000 seeds. You weren't even able to patent life, for a long time until you get the right congressman. I mean, that's how this goes. So I was watching, and I'm like, wow, we are getting hit from everywhere. I mean, it's so bad that it's a universal revolution that has to take this. It's a whole mindset of people just, we're better off with none. So if we are, and people understand that, that's what's going to happen. So I wanted to finish, because I think Robert Kennedy Jr. did a really good job of detailing a lot of this stuff. He has another segment we can get through here in this segment and do this, and then Donna and I have a conversation with you in the next long segment here. But I wanted to go ahead and finish this. This is really good information.
And I saw studies that weren't even good fraud. It wasn't even high-quality fraud. It is low-quality. These are low-quality, the worst. I mean, anybody, you don't even need a scientist to advise you and tell you where the fraud is. And I'll tell you what I'll just tell you the big one that they all rely on, the Danish study, where they said, okay, in 1992, Denmark banned thimerosal. And after that, autism rates continued to climb. Therefore, there is no association between autism and thimerosal. That's the study. What they didn't tell you is that in 1992, Denmark was concerned about the connection between thimerosal and autism, and about this huge rise in autism, and it began for the first time registering autism as a reported illness in Denmark. So all the people who had autistic children suddenly had to register them for the first time. Plus, in Copenhagen, they founded a new clinic to treat autistic kids, which gave people a huge financial incentive and health incentive to register their children. So it was the registry that went up, not the incidence of autism that went up, but they didn't say that in the study. They never mentioned the Copenhagen clinic. They never mentioned the change in the rules in Denmark. They just show you the graphs of thimerosal is banned here, and autism continues to go up. Well, the reason the autism rates rose was because it was an artifact of their data collection processes. It had nothing to do with the reality on the ground of the occurrence of autism. So, and you've heard all of their other studies, and, you know, they all have this guy, Paul Offit. You guys know him? And he is the poster child for the term biostitute. This is a man who has made himself the spokesperson for the vaccine industry. He portrays himself as an independent scientist. He doesn't disclose the millions of dollars that he does not disclose the millions of dollars of transactions. You know, these people, one of the worst crimes that they've done. And, you know, I told the New York Times, I said, you know, you guys had Judith Miller, you know, for a year talking about the Iraq war and saying how what a great thing it is and covering up all the truth from the government spokespeople. And I said, there's no difference what you're doing. And then you had to come out and apologize. And the Times publicly apologized for that. And I said, you're going to have to apologize for this someday, for what you've done here. Because what you've done here, that war is going to cost us $3 trillion. But the treatment of these children and the cost to our society from what you have done, what you are doing to this generation of children, is going to far exceed the cost of the Iraq war. And somebody is going to have to come to terms with that. And ultimately, the American press has completely let down our democracy. And one of the things you see repeated again and again is that these are that the women, you know, who claim that their children, and I've gotten now hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of letters, and that's not hyperbole, it's not exaggeration, from women who have the exact same experience. They bring a perfectly healthy two-year-old who's exceeded all of their milestones to a doctor who they trust to get their pediatric flu shots, their MMR vaccines at the age of two. They get that shot, the child goes into seizure, develops a fever that night, and over the next 3 months loses her or his ability to speak, to interact with his brothers and sisters, engages in stereotypical behavior, headbanging, screaming, biting, and loses all capacity for social interaction. And they lost this child, and they watch it happen. And it's happened thousands and thousands of times. And you hear that story once or twice, and you say, well, maybe it's an anomaly. But you hear it 100 times, and you have to say, we got to start looking at this. And the CDC has said, no, we're not going to look at it. We're going to cut off all funds to anybody who wants to look at it. Why isn't the press asking that question?
Why isn't the press asking that question? They're part of the problem. And we're part of the solution. You be part of the solution on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, and in the studio with me on the board, Donna Hancock, my lovely wife. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call
1-800-313-9443. Yeah, we're going to walk this way. Which way are we going to go? Let's go to that freedom thing. Here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, on the board, Donna, Hello. Now, what I want to go ahead and finish this. You know, we'll give him some props here. It was it was about 12, 13-minute, two-part thing that Robert Kennedy Jr. did on the West Lawn of the Capitol building. Some activists there talking about these vaccines. Because you have an entire generation of families that they take their kid in. We just had our granddaughter. They're pretty convinced. They're like, nope, no, we're good. You know, yeah, but you got to go to the doctor so you can, you know, get this shot so you can, like, go to the public school so we can really screw you up. You know, if we haven't got you chemically, we're going to get you emotionally and mentally anyway. I mean, it's like, okay, I choose a not. You know, heck, well, Don and I will homeschool Kaylee. You know, if we have a whole house full of grandkids homeschooling. You know, is that what it's got to take? Well, here in Arizona, you know, we yanked our kids out when they were, like, in... Oh, our youngest, I don't even think she went to kindergarten. You know, it was like third grade, you know, for our oldest. And we just said, we were poor, too. I mean, we didn't, you know, I don't care. We can play shoots and ladders. It's going to be better than this. I mean, this is, I mean, dang. So we saw this is going. And we are so blessed because of that. Because if we didn't, we would be dealing with Lord knows what, you know, all kinds, you know, chemical requirements and indoctrination and the friends that they'd have and the teachers and the ministry. And just, you know, can we just extract from it? Whatever benefit we think we're going to get in free babysitting or something, we're good. We'll just live modestly and be poor, really poor. So we did. You know, but we raise kids that, you know, they take care of themselves. They send mom and dad to Caribbean. That's what I think. But, you know, yeah, we'll see. Let's go ahead and finish this out with Robert Kennedy.
Why aren't they asking CDC, why don't you study the Amish like UPI did? You know, why don't you study these homeschool kids? 30,000 homeschool kids studied by the UPI and no autism in that group. They studied all the Amish in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. There should be 130 autistic kids. There are four, and three of them were adopted after receiving their vaccines, and the fourth one lived downwind of a coal-burning power plant. So we know what the truth is, and what we've got to stop doing is blaming the mothers, which is what they've done. These are not hysterical women. These are people. I have a child who has allergies, profound allergies, life-threatening anaphylactic allergies, and asthma. My wife knows better than any doctor. She can put her hands on that boy, and she knows what's wrong with him. She knows if his chest is tightening up. She knows exactly what allergen triggered his allergy. She knows what's going wrong with that child. And these mothers know what made their child sick.
We are in a battle that is so monumental, and it always comes down to a philosophy. And it's, I'll tell you, it's really simple. They try and make it more complicated than it is, and it's not. The philosophy that we should be treated in a collective that can be forced, coerced, socially and economically engineered into a norm that is manufactured in the minds of some people at the top of this collective is wrong. I mean, it's not American. I mean, they'll wrap the flag around it, but it's not American. So it's really not that complicated for me, but there's a lot of people that it is. Let me tell you who it's not complicated for. Young. These kids, you know, I met, and you knew they were there. I was them. You know, a lot of my friends, you know, we did this together. We made friends. I mean, before meetups and so on, it was really libertarian activism. You know, but we kind of graduated from that, too. I mean, still voting. I mean, you know, vote with your opinion. Vote with your signs. Vote with your presence at different things. Vote with your activity. Vote with doing something other than giving sanction to a government computer. You know, that's all you're doing. You go vote. You know what? I'm gonna lend my voice to supporting the system that's devouring me. Do I want my, you know, voice to be accurately counted? Do I want it to be, you know, if I could be assured of that, you know, I might put some value in it. We just did a full show yesterday's afternoon show on just, you know, election fraud here and there, you know, a documentary called Fatally Flawed on a case that we knew. It goes all the way up to our attorney general here. You know, we know. We don't think we know. We know. Don and I have been doing this since, you know, forever. This is what started us, was election fraud. We're like, if we can't count on that to be the fix, what's the freaking point? You know, the first thing you got to do is clearly state your position. Look, we are against what's going on. We know that we have faith in our neighbors. We have faith in our friends and family. We have faith. We have love for them. Because we know that given the opportunity and knowing the truth, the majority of Americans would not vote to hurt people. They wouldn't. But they're saying that you are. They're blaming the mothers. You know, your kid, and I tell you, I'll tell you this. We're starting to connect with Kaylee, our granddaughter. She's how old is Kaylee now?
I think about 7 weeks.
And, you know, and just what's happened in the last couple of weeks, what have we been doing?
We talk to her all the time, touch her, make sure. I mean, she's very stimulated in all different ways, but she's starting to respond back, looking and seeing that she has an effect, or at least, you know, when she smiles, she sees that makes us smile, and she's starting to notice her hands and all these, she's becoming more aware. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, you can just look in her face and think, you know, what her future's going to be, and hopefully it'll be really good. But, you know, we want to just give her the best chance that we can, and I can't help think that she is unpoisoned. She does not have any vaccines, and I'm very fortunate that my son and daughter-in-law took the information. We didn't tell them what to do, but they took the information and they read tons of stuff and they decided against vaccinations and all the swine
and they
stuff.
Breastfeed. I mean, they use some formula. We did too, and we breastfed. You know, well, you did, but the you know, for, you know, like a year,
as much as I could. I mean, we had our kids really close, so I did it till I couldn't. But yeah, and that they say that, I mean, at least first 4 months, that child is getting the mother's antibodies. I mean, that's what it's designed to do, and it works very well. And when you just have man mess with it, then you have all these problems.
But I remember when we had different formulas, each kid's different, you know, and now they got genetic, all, you know, Lord knows what. And I'd, you know, if it was up to me, never put anything in powder and do, you know, but, you know, hey, we're just parents. So, you know, grandparents, we don't get to say. But, you know, but they breastfeed on a regular basis, just how much you can produce and so on, because this kid wanting some milk. But the thing is that, you know, I remember, you know, I paid attention. We have four kids close together. You could see I had 15 cousins. I mean, you know, I had lots of babies around. I get it. And early on, I go, you watch. Early on, when they start making the connection, you can make them smile all the time. So I get in there and I get about a foot away. I'm getting their focal length and get where her eyes kind of connect with mine. And then I give a surprise look. I go, you know, like you widen your eyes and you look surprised, like, ooh. You know, like that. You get that surprise, and because they recognize surprise. You know, that's something they get surprised. They go, well, hey, you know, this, I know that emotion. Me too. You know, I'm with you, brother. You know, so they make that connection, and then you can, you know, you're actually start talking to them. They're crying, waiting on, you know, to get fed or change my diaper or whatever, and whoever's in charge of holding them, you know, we're sitting there and we're like, ooh, and you're just talking to them and everything, and you distract them, and all of a sudden you make the eye contact, and it starts at about 6 weeks. And you know, it starts, of course, with the mother. You know, Laura's just, you know, and they love this. Let me tell you, there are times when they hit like 6 months, a year, 2 years, or different times that the government has, you know, because they love you so much and they know what's best for you. That's when you take this perfectly normal, healthy, progressing, you can see their brain making the connections, kid, into a doctor's office. They give them an injection. Boom! Different kid. Different child. Their brains are altered. It's not the potential that, and you got to wonder sometimes, was that on purpose that they put mercury? There is no safe level of mercury in a developing brain, any brain, certainly not a young baby. And I'm just going, what? So it has longer shelf life, you know, so you can take us out. I mean, so you go, what, you know, I don't even care why. You know, because you're bad. You won't leave me alone. You're in the bad category. You know, how detailed do I got to get? You know, that's what a lot of activists do. They'll go through and they'll go, look, he's bad. You know, this whole industry is bad. And I go, no, I know. You got me, man. I've done three shows on it. You know, talked about it. They go, no. You don't know. But they're really bad. They're extra bad. I go, well, they're super bad. I mean, how bad do they got to get? I go, freedom good, government bad. How many bads I got to do? I get it. They're bad. No. You need to know what they're doing. They're bad. So I'm going, you know, I know they're bad. Let's go to the next. There's so many. You know how many bads I got of all these things that are invading us? But you got to go and finish what you start, you know, and I'll finish what I start. I mean, we got, you know, probably covered 80% of the population in Arizona already through the banners, through the news coverage, and we haven't even started the distribution of the printing that we've done yet. We got all kinds of little, you know, I'm not ready to tell everybody what we're going to do yet, but, you know, the people will know. They will have had the opportunity to go and check this information, because that's what the bad guys don't want. All that Don and I have ever done is that you don't have to agree with us. You just got to understand why we're concerned. Maybe you'll be concerned, too.
I will have to say that I did vaccinate our kids when they were young. They were born from 85 to 89. There's four kids, very close in age. And I thought I was doing the right thing. I mean, that's just what, you know, among the mothers and friends and people in church and your neighbors and all of that, you think, you know, you're going to the doctor and they're telling you need to be, and you believe them. Had I had any inkling that this was not going to be a good thing for them, especially short term or long term, because you have autism in the short term and you have Alzheimer's in the long term or any of these autoimmune diseases. I mean, hopefully, fortunately, my kids didn't succumb to any of the early stuff. But,
well, they
you know,
had, it was in the early, a lot of the stuff, the thimerosal and everything, that's what Kennedy was saying. I guess it started in like 88, 89,
mm-hmm.
You know, so maybe we just missed a lot of the worst stuff.
I don't know. We're going to find out. But I just encourage them to be as healthy as they can. But my point is that if there was information out there, and especially now because of the internet and everything, I probably wouldn't have done it. I certainly would have at least, you know, light bulb gone off in my head and, you know, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. So that's what we're trying to do, is just encourage you guys to get out there and read up on it. And then if you come across the same information that we did and you understand what's in these things and spread it to your friends, that's, you know, that's all that we do.
I mean,
and that's what
know,
we encourage other people
you
to
know,
do.
God don't make no junk.
Nope.
You know, I'm like, how you know, how hard is it? I mean, you know, there's been babies been birthing for a long time. And I'll tell you how it actually happens. Laura, her mother is a, I don't know, baby nurse. What do you call her?
She's a delivery nurse.
So she's a delivery nurse. I went there. She took the day off and delivered. You know, that's great. We got, you know, up close and personal. Now, you know, how many women usually get the vaccine? Well, of course, most of them. Yeah, whatever. You know, fill in, because this is what happens. You're in contraction. You're sitting in the hospital bed and you're sitting, you're talking. All of a sudden, you got a contraction. And what do they give to you? On the little desk thing they put as you're sitting up in the bed or something, they'll sit and put a clipboard. You know, fill this out. You're like, yeah, whatever, you know, between contractions. That's when they want you to fill this stuff out. You know, they want the mother filling this stuff out. Now, fortunately, we had already, you know, educated them. We'd gone through this stuff, got the books. They took it seriously. And the baby nurse, you know, Laura's mother, she wasn't advocating for the vaccine either. So, you know, so we didn't have a problem there. So they had, you know, refused. And they even took a picture of it. They don't say, see, refused. No. And the baby is born. Kaylee's put into the little, you know, heater, incubator, check, whatever stuff. And it never leaves. You know, it doesn't go into a nursery. And say, nope, baby, you know, shot free. Okay. Plus, I'm baby. I'm like, you know, I prefer not needles. You know, I get born and I get needles stuck in me. Well, that sucks right there. I'm thinking that might have a little traumatic. You don't like dentists because they wear white smocks. But the thing is that, you know, we have the baby. Developing fine, beautiful kid, happy, everything's cool. Do you risk it for whatever perceived benefit by going and getting these dozens and dozens of different vaccines pumped into your body? Do you do that? Why would you do that? Because you just don't know any better. So what we are doing is making sure people at least ask the question. They do not want you asking questions. They do not. So when they do these newscasts and they say, over at freedomsphoenix.com, this libertarian website, which is cool, I tell them that anyway. So what happens is they come over because it gives more credibility. You know, what do you think the credibility is libertarianism is? You know, libertarian website over which obviously they're not going to get elected. Does that make us, like, have less credibility? They have more. We're not them, you know. So they come over and they look at this stuff and they see this information right here. You know, this information you just heard today's show right there. That's what they get. What kind of impact does that have? And we have some other stuff that's going on. Now, pay no attention to the orange flyer on your trash can thing. We got that coming. We'll talk about that. You know, as much as I think you might be surprised by our activism and how easy it is for us to get the lamestream media to cover us, and even when we don't do any press releases or ask them because we're out there doing something, because you get noticed when you stand up, you know, for no other reason than everybody else is on their knees. Now, that's the only reason. You know, they say there's some big, giant, great, wonderful thing. You know, I don't want, you know, poison put in my kid. You know, does this, you know, make me special? It does if everybody else is on their knees going, yeah, Master, can I have some more for my children? You know, see, it's really not that complicated. So we go out and do this stuff. When we do this next wave, you know, it's we're going to have an impact. I guarantee it. So much so that Janet Napolitano is not going to take this one lying down. They're going to come up with something. They have to. Because here in Arizona, we know where our win and loss is. It's not what some bureaucrat says. It's not some, you know, letter I get from saying we pinky swear we're not going to whatever. It's not from a judge. It's not from, you know, some law enforcement they get to come in and put a gun to my head and haul me off for whatever they made up reason. It's not going to be from that. It's just going to be from the people being educated or not. And they can't have that. It jacks up their whole plan. You know, Don, have we been doing this for 20 years or what?
Since 89.
And, yeah. And our effectiveness has been no more than that. You know, election night. Do we even watch the election results?
No, we always just have a party.
We're like, you know, if we're not done, if we haven't already accomplished what we want using the election process, you know, we're not going to look for some government computer results to validate what we did.
We've already won at that point.
Yeah, but before we even get there, we've won. You can win, too. All you got to do is just share the knowledge, and Freedom's Phoenix makes it easy for you. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Good morning. It's Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. I'm not Ernest Hancock. I'm sitting in the control room with my husband, Ernest Hancock, and we're talking about the vaccines this morning. And basically, just as we end the show, we just want to encourage everybody just to get educated. We don't, you know, we can't really tell you what to do, but our whole goal is just to educate people so that you can make an informed decision on any part of your life. So.
And, you know, the one thing that we've done this, we get a lot of satisfaction at. We're able to do it because, you know, we're good at it. You know, it's not that hard. You know, it's not that hard for us. You know, I tell you where it really makes a difference, where they usually get people just they drop off. You know, they'll see there's a problem. They come up and they say, hey, there's a problem. You know, and you should know this problem. And we fix this problem. And they ignore you. A lot of people, you know, they ignore, I guess it's not that big a deal. They don't have the confidence or the time or the resources or the ability or the personality or whatever, and they stop. Well, that covers a lot of people. That's done. Then they, you know, you keep at it, you keep at it, you keep at it, and then they kind of ridicule you or you're crazy. They test your self-confidence. They, you know, you don't know. You just don't know. You don't know. You're a doctor. You don't know. So, and what if you got enough self-confidence, you're going, you know, I know enough to know you're a lying sack of snot. That's how much I know. So then if you're willing to go face-to-face with these guys, then, you know, they got to come up with some logical argument or just keep ignoring you. And what if you won't be ignored? You know, what if you have an ability to, you're not even trying to convince them. Once they're bad guys, you know, if there's somebody in government that wants to help, there's legislators that, you know, have, Ernie, we need your help on this, or can you, and if I think they're sincere or our interests overlap, yeah, cool, we'll help. I've done that many times. I got more Ernie laws than I know how to count. You know, but the thing is, most of them are, you know, bad, you know, in response to different things that we do. And a lot of it's really restrictions on First Amendment stuff. They don't want you to be able to communicate. So we communicate even more. They do something just, you know, oh, make me angry. I'm, oh, more motivation. They pull me back in. You know, several times I've tried to back off and have other people do it, but they miss the point. A lot of times they're trying to convince the government agent. They're trying to convince them. I don't need to convince them. Screw them. They're there because they can't be convinced. So I'm fine. So now we're at to where it's been pretty clear that the city of Phoenix is not going to defend their employees, their first responders, from being mandated to take this vaccine if it comes from a higher authority. Now, they made that clear. Now, whoever that is. Oh, no, we would never, you know, but they're not going to protect them. Somebody's going to, was the state going to fire them? You're fired if you don't, whatever. You're in violation of you're fired. Well, the city's the one who's going to fire them, but they won't say that they're going to protect their job.
Well, that's what we're here for, because they'll have a voice through us, and they'll be able to tell their story.
Yep. Now, what I want to do is make sure that you guys have a voice. You know, you get to at least, you know, claim, you know, ownership of your body. You know, I vote that. You know, I can vote on that. Can I raise my hand and opinion on that? You get to claim property rights on your body, and I want to help. You know, who's that person that's going to take that all the way? Well, I guarantee you there's at least one policeman, one fireman, one nurse, one doctor, and one teacher. How much you want to bet? So we just need to be out there and make sure they know that we're here. So, and if we protect them, that makes, you know, it's my own self-interest to protect us. Because these are going to come, because they already said, no, you need to talk to Maricopa County Health Department. Yeah, they're going to do it. And they're a subdivision of the state, and it's Arizona Department of Health. Yeah, they're going to make us. No, we didn't do it. It's them. Go blame them. Of course, we're not going to hold their job for them, but yeah, go blame them. And, you know, who's going to ultimately have the decision? Is it, you know, the federal government saying, you want some of that stimulus, billions of bailout money? Well, guess what you got to do? And we're going to expose it. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.